Well, good morning, everyone. For those of you who don't know, my name is Pastor Tom, and I just have a couple of announcements before we pray today. The first one is to help you be prepared for something that is coming. Okay, so here's the big news. Tomorrow is the first day of winter. Okay, so just so you know, get prepared for winter. Tomorrow is the first day. It's coming. Secondly, you know about the new restrictions that we have to live under with the provincial government's announcements, and they have impacted us in St. Albert directly in the form of mask requirements. So the city of St. Albert had declared that children under the age of 10 did not need to wear masks, but now the provincial government's order supersedes that, and so they are saying that any children ages 3 and older need to wear masks, and so we're going to have to ask our folks to do that as you come to our church community. We know that this is tiring, continuing to adjust to all these things, but we're going to follow that. And also we request, of course, that if you have medical reasons to not wear a mask, of course, we acknowledge that, or to have a different face covering. But if possible, if you can wear a mask, and we'll continue to do that until things change. So just so you have that news. Also, Christmas Eve is this Thursday evening, and we're having two services. But I checked this morning online, and I think there's only one or two seats left for each service. And so if you're not already registered for Christmas Eve, then please join us online at 4:30 or at 6 o'clock for our online Christmas Eve service. And we want to remember as well today two families who are bereaved, losing loved ones this past week. So we want to remember Adele and her family in the passing of Ernie. And he passed away, I think it was Thursday. And so we're going to remember Adele and her family. And also yesterday, later evening, we learned of the passing of Eileen Gulliford. And so we want to remember in prayer Don and Gord Martin and their families and extended families. And so we're going to lift them in prayer now as we come to the Lord. Lord God, we come to you today and we want to worship you and adore you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your mercy in our lives, for the fact that we can come together still, and we can lift up praises for you for sending your son Jesus. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your willingness to come and your willingness to offer yourself up so that we might have life. So we praise you for your constant presence with us through all that we are going through and that we are experiencing. We thank you for your faithfulness through this past year and all the different changes that we've had to all endure, but thank you for seeing us through to this second last Sunday of 2020. We acknowledge as well our need today. We need you, and you are the greatest need that any person has, whether they know it or not. We need your forgiveness, and we need your continued guidance and strengthening for life and for the things that are ahead of us. We want to remember today, Lord, Adele and her family in the passing of Ernie. This past week, we thank you for the years that we had with Ernie, for his smile, for his firm grip, for his encouraging word, and for his walk with you. We rejoice with him that he has seen you face to face right now, but we lift Adele before you and pray for your comfort for her and the family in this time of sorrow. And we pray the same for Don and for Gord, for their kids and grandkids, and for their extended family and the passing of Eileen. We thank you for the many years that she impacted this congregation as well, for her beautiful smile and singing voice. And we thank you that she today is freed from all the restrictions and suffering that she's undergone over the last few years. But we also mourn with this family as they grieve. And so we lift them before you and pray for your comfort, as well as Ron and Lisa, as they grieve his dad, the passing of his dad, and others who have lost loved ones and who are going into their first Christmas without a loved one. We lift them before you. And we also lift before you those who are finding Christmas difficult because of a change in their work situation or in the business world, whatever they are facing. I pray, Lord, for your encouragement, for each one with the different things that are before them. And in our church family, we think of the many who are struggling in different ways, but we thank you that we can come to you, that you are a God who lifts us up, who cares and continues to care for us. And so now as we come to your word, we ask that you would feed us with this bread of life. And we look forward to what you will have to say, and we pray this in your name. Amen. Why do people do hard things if there was an easier way to do things? Like professional sports athletes who put themselves on a strict diet and a strict fitness regimen and deprive themselves of eating whatever they want or not working out if they feel like it. Like a pregnant woman who perseveres through all the discomfort and uncertainty of carrying a child. Like parents who keep on parenting even when their kids disappoint them. Like students who keep on studying and working when other students are off socializing or doing something different. Like people who save their money for years, depriving themselves of spending it right now. Why do some people do hard things like that when they could choose an easier path? Well, professional athletes sacrifice their bodies and their time to go on these strict diets and extreme fitness programs to earn their massive paycheck and to keep their jobs. They also want to win a sports championship and the fame that comes with that. A woman endures the trial of pregnancy and the pain of childbirth in the hope that a new baby will join their family. Parents persevere in parenting children from infants to young adult years out of love and the hope that their child will grow to be a fully mature, God-fearing young adult. People spend years studying, going to school, obtaining a certificate or a diploma or a degree that they hope will lead them to a lifelong career. And people save money for years so that they can make a big purchase one day or have retirement income. So one reason people do hard things is for the reward that awaits at the end. Now, I think that living the Christian life today is hard. We experience persecution and marginalization, mockery and dismissal, cancel culture and political correctness, and constant reminders that we are outside of the cultural mainstream. We face pressure each day to give in, give up, go with the flow, and in some small way, deny our Lord. Or when life gets hard, it seems God is not helping, and we wonder, what's the point of keeping the faith? So how do we keep going in the face of such opposition, temptation, or discouragement? And I'm here to tell you today, friends, that God is faithful in providing and continuing to provide strength that might surprise us in keeping going. And today we're going to see a source of strength from an unfamiliar part of the Bible that focuses on an unfamiliar part of Jesus' identity. It's not even part of the Christmas story, yet its destination, it's where the Christmas story points to. It's the destination for the Christmas story. And we will see that several ways that God provides encouragement for us to keep going in our faith until we reach the end with all the rewards that he has for us there. And we have already seen reasons for hope at Christmas over these last weeks. First, we saw that we can live with hope at Christmas because God shows up. And we saw the Word became flesh. And we saw the Son of God become a human baby. And then we saw that we can live with hope at Christmas because God speaks up. And we saw him send an angel to give Joseph critical information that he needed to get in with God's will in what was going on. And we saw that God has spoken and continues to speak today. And last week, we saw that God lifts us up like the humble Mary. And we learned that humility is so important in living the Christian life. And today, we are going to see that we can live with hope this Christmas and beyond because Jesus gave himself up as the perfect high priest. Jesus gave himself up as the perfect high priest. And you might wonder, well, what does that have to do with giving me hope at Christmas? Well, the letter containing this news addressed some first century Christians tempted to give up their faith. They were Messianic Jews, ethnic Jewish people who believed that Jesus was, in fact, their Messiah. But this came at a huge cost. Messianic Jews soon carried the label false Jew. They were kicked out of the synagogue or their house of worship, and the community leaders blacklisted them socially and economically so that any good Jew in any community of the ancient world would not associate with a Messianic Jew, both economically, do business with them, or socially. And it seems some wondered about going back to Judaism. Maybe they would renounce Jesus publicly, continue to worship him privately, and life would be easier. But the letter to the Hebrews encouraged people in this situation to persevere in the hard journey of the Christian life. God would be with them and encourage them all along the way, and great reward awaited the completion of their journey. So one way God encouraged them was through the perfect high priesthood of Jesus. So to understand this, today we are going to first briefly look at the makeup of the ancient Jewish priestly system led by a high priest. And then we're going to see how Jesus differed from every other high priest. And finally, we will see how this matters for our hopefulness this Christmas and into 2021. And I pray that you're going to experience strength today to keep doing the hard thing of persevering in the Christian life because of the wonderful high priesthood of Jesus Christ. So to ground all of this in Scripture, we need to go to the Bible, and we're going to be looking at Hebrews 7. So if you have a Bible with you or on your devices, please find Hebrews chapter 7. And it's a dense chapter. We'll be talking about unfolding it, so try to stay with me and let God's work speak. So Hebrews 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And to him, Abraham apportioned a tenth part of everything. He is first, by translation of his name, king of righteousness. And then he is also king of Salem, that is the king of peace. He is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues to be a priest forever. See how great this man was, to whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of the spoils? And those descendants of Levi who received the priestly office have a commandment in the law to take tithes from the people, that is, from their brothers, though these also are descended from Abraham. But this man, who does not have his descent from them, received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. It is beyond dispute that the inferior is blessed by the superior. In the one case, tithes are received by mortal men, but in the other case, by one of whom it is testified that he lives. One might even say that Levi himself, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, for he was still in the loins of his ancestor when Melchizedek met him. Now, if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek, rather than one named after the order of Aaron? For when there's a change in priesthood, there is necessarily a change in the law as well. For the one of whom these things are spoken belonged to another tribe, from which no one has ever served at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, and in connection with that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. This becomes even more evident when another priest arises in the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become a priest, not on the basis of a legal requirement concerning bodily descent, but by the power of an indestructible life. For it is witnessed of him, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. For on the one hand, a former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness, for the law made nothing perfect, but on the other hand, a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath, for those who formerly became priests were made such without an oath, but this one was made a priest with an oath by the one who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office, but he holds the priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. Now, to unpack all of that, first, let's ask, how did the Jewish priestly system with a high priest work? Well, in ancient Israel, God appointed an order of priests to mediate or to go between him and the people. And God appointed priests from one of Israel's 12 tribes, the tribe of Levi. Moses and Aaron were from the tribe of Levi. So Aaron was the original high priest, and his sons served as under priests. And when they passed on, more priests were chosen from the tribe of the Levites. They served first at the tabernacle, or tent of God, and then in the temple of God in Jerusalem. And their responsibilities included presenting the sacrifices of the people on the altar before the tabernacle or temple, interceding for the people in prayer, and explaining the law to them. A high priest had the supreme position in the priesthood, and this included the privilege and terror of going into the Holy of Holies once a year, that room which was sealed off from the rest of the tabernacle or temple by a curtain, and inside was the Ark of the Covenant. And God would come and rest on what was called the mercy seat and meet the high priest there once a year on the Day of Atonement. The high priests filled this office only for their term or only until they died. Some high priests faithfully fulfilled their duties and led the nation to Christ or to God. But others were corrupted, and all were sinners, and all died. So along comes Jesus. How does he differ from every other high priest? Well, first of all, we discover he is a priest from a unique priestly line. All the other high priests descended from Levi. In Hebrews 7, we see all this talk about a guy named Melchizedek. Melchizedek did not descend from Levi. He was born before Levi was born. He appears for one scene in the Hebrew Bible in Genesis 14. Abraham returns from this battle, and Melchizedek comes out from the city of Salem, or Shalom, and blesses Abraham. And the name Melchizedek means king of righteousness. Well, Abraham ends up giving this priest a tithe. And then he disappears from history until Psalm 110, which is a psalm about the Messiah. And in Psalm 110, verse 4, we read these words: "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You, Messiah, are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek." So the Lord declares by oath that the Messiah would be a priest from the Melchizedek order and not the Levi order. And the writer of Hebrews quotes Psalm 110, verse 4, in verse 17 of chapter 7. Well, this is crucial for Jesus, because he did not descend from Levi's tribe. He came from the tribe of Judah, or David's line, according to verse 14. That was the royal tribe. God had promised that he would make sure there was a descendant of David on the throne of Israel forever. So Jesus came from this royal line of Judah through Joseph and Mary, and God swore by oath that the Messiah would come from the priestly order of Melchizedek. So in Jesus, you have royalty and this different order coming together. In fact, the two highest offices in Israel come together in Jesus: king and high priest. And no other high priest could make such a claim. So that's the first difference. Secondly, we see that Jesus differed from all other high priests because he's the only high priest who has lived forever. Verse 23 of Hebrews 7. "The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office, but he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever." So other high priests could only influence things while they were living out their term or until they died. But Jesus' term never ends. He holds the priesthood permanently. And this results in great news for you and me, according to verse 25. "Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." So there are two pieces of good news for every believer in verse 25. First, Jesus saves to the uttermost. And this could mean the uttermost of time, forever. Or it could mean the uttermost of extent, completely. And maybe it means both. Jesus saves us to the uttermost of time, to the fullest extent. He doesn't save us for a few years and then lose the priesthood because his term ends, thus ending our salvation. Nor does he save us only as long as he can protect us. No other high priest will supersede Jesus and come along and displace our salvation. And the other item of good news in verse 25 concerns Jesus' intercession. Jesus always lives to make intercession for us. He never stops praying for us or bringing our situation into the throne room of God. So when we draw near to God through Jesus, we experience this extensive salvation. And all this comes because Jesus is the only high priest who lives forever. Third, Jesus differs from every other high priest because he has perfect moral character. Verse 26 tells us he is holy, innocent, unstained, and separated from sinners. Well, all other priests were sinners. But Jesus was personally holy. He fulfilled all of God's requirements. He never committed error or impurity. He was completely innocent in his dealings with others. He remained unstained or uncontaminated in his associations and pure in all his contacts, even with sinful people. And the last way this passage talks about Jesus' uniqueness is found in verse 27. And here we discover the fourth way Jesus is different from every high priest. And this is amazing. Jesus does not need to offer continual sacrifices. Jesus does not need to offer continual sacrifices for his own sins or the sins of others. Every other high priest repeatedly offered sacrifices, first for their own sin, since they sinned repeatedly. And so they would first have to offer a sacrifice for their own sins so they would attain some sort of symbolic and hopefully spiritual state of purity. And then, since people continue to sin repeatedly, he would offer sacrifice for people repeatedly. Yet look at how the writer of Hebrews highlights the difference with Jesus. So verse 27 again. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people. Why? Because he did this once for all when he offered up himself. Jesus offered one sacrifice that looked after everything. Why did Jesus get to do that? First of all, he never had to offer a sacrifice for his own sin since he never sinned. And secondly, the sacrifice he offered was so powerful, so comprehensive that it would cover people's sins through all eternity. So it was a once for all sacrifice. And what was this sacrifice? He offered up himself. Jesus offered up himself to die as a sinless sacrifice on the cross for the sins of people like you and me. And no other high priest could come close to that. So, those are four major differences between Jesus and all other high priests. And there are many more in this passage. And I'm sure most of you are saying, let's just dive way deeper into all the intricacies of the Jewish priestly system. That's my deep passion in life. But for the one or two of you who are thinking, what does this have to do with hope at Christmas? Let's go there. How does Jesus offering himself up as the perfect high priest 2,000 years ago give us hope to do the hard thing of keeping the faith today? And to answer that, we have to ask another question. What does all this reveal about the Lord's love and desire for us? Three answers. Number one, God established a foundation for a lasting relationship with us. Since Jesus will never be removed from office, our salvation will never come into question. Our relationship with God will never end. So we have a strong foundation for a lasting relationship with God because of Jesus' forever priesthood. Answer two, God meets our deepest needs in Jesus, who saves to the uttermost. We need forgiveness, holiness, future deliverance. And through Jesus, we get everything. Forgiveness, progressive transformation to become more and more like him, salvation to the uttermost, future deliverance. And answer three, God established an ongoing relationship with us through Jesus as intercessor. God does not need to be made aware of what's going on in our lives because Jesus is constantly interceding for us in the throne room of God. And somehow, the Almighty God can simultaneously pay attention to everyone's needs. And Jesus can somehow simultaneously pray for everyone's needs. So how does this connect to living with hope this Christmas? And here's my answer. If God did all of this to establish and ensure an eternal relationship with us, he will certainly not abandon us today. He will certainly not say, oh, I'm going to do all this and establish Christ as the perfect, superior high priest, and Jesus offers himself up, and then he does all that and says, oh, you know, I don't care about them. No, he's done all this work for an eternal relationship with us. He's not going to abandon us today. No life circumstance or difficulty can shake the foundation of the relationship that God has built. No devil's scheme can force God to revoke his oath. No hidden skeleton will ever be found in Jesus' closet that will nullify his sinless self-sacrifice. Jesus sealed it all with his once-for-all sacrifice of offering himself up. And we can live with hope this Christmas because Jesus offered up himself. Therefore, we can respond to this news with a renewed hope to keep the faith and that God is going to keep us going. Don't give up your faith. Jesus offered himself up for you. Don't give up keeping on in your walk with Christ or trusting Christ when you go through difficult times and when it all seems hopeless, even if hardly anyone else keeps the faith around you. Even when our culture mocks us or mocks our Lord as outdated, as repressive, they do not see the incredible mercy of God and all he has done so that we might be forgiven and reconciled and made whole. It is hard to keep the faith today. But it's been hard for every generation of Christians. It would have been so easy for these first century Messianic Jews to renounce their Christianity publicly and settle back into the comfortable life of fellowship with, socializing with, worshiping with, doing business with the Jewish community. But such a step would inevitably lead to more compromise and distancing from God. They would have sacrificed their relationship with God for comfort. Same temptation remains for us today. Will we keep the faith even when it's hard? God established a lasting foundation for a relationship that will endure eternally because he installed Jesus as the perfect high priest forever. God backed up his desire by swearing an oath, and it's impossible for God to lie, it says in Hebrews 6. God met our deepest needs for forgiveness and holiness and deliverance in Jesus, who is able to save us to the uttermost. And Jesus constantly intercedes for us. When Jesus offered himself up, it was a once-for-all sacrifice that covers you and me. So he is able to save us to the uttermost when we draw near to God through him. And maybe you have never come to God before because you think you're beyond saving. Because you think you have done something that disqualifies you eternally from relationship with God. You may have mocked God or slandered Jesus or lived in total rebellion against him for a long time. You might be a young person who has adopted our culture's teaching and message that life is all about living irresponsibly and total freedom and total rebellion, but now your life is a mess. Or you see the emptiness of such a pursuit. Friends, no sin is too deep. Jesus' blood reaches deeper. No wall is too high of accumulated rebellions against God for Jesus to smash through it. No valley is too low for God's love to flow through it like living water. No act is too unique to require another offering up of himself by the perfect high priest. God has made the way for you to come to him through Jesus. And God may have opened your eyes today to this possibility, and he calls you to accept the tremendous gift that he offers to you. He calls you to leave behind your past life and instead put the trust of your life on our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you would like to respond to God's call, maybe you could repeat this prayer after me now as we pray. So let us pray together. And if you want to respond to God's call, please repeat after me. Oh God, I see your great work through the perfect high priest, Jesus. I see your desire to be in relationship with me forever. So I turn away from my old life apart from you. And I put my trust onto Jesus, who offered up himself once for all and for me. And Lord Jesus, I know that you are interceding right now, and you hear these prayers, and you can save to the uttermost. And so will you please save anyone who has prayed that this morning? And for those of us who have already received this tremendous gift, forgive us when we take it lightly, when we conclude that you have forgotten about us, that you have abandoned us. Help us to return to this great evidence and truth that Jesus is the perfect high priest forever. And empower us to keep the faith and do hard things to your glory until you return or call us home. Amen. Well, to close our service today, we have one more announcement to make, and I'd like to invite Sean Morton to come forward at this time and share with us.
Merry Christmas, everybody. I read this to the elders the other day, and I just want to read this out here. What I have tried to do with my entire life is follow God's call. And in every situation that I found myself in, I've always tried to work hard where I've been planted to create value and encourage excellence. And always at the center has been this desire to be open to what God wants for my life and for the life of the church. And one of those questions that has been lingering for me for the last few years is what next steps God might have for me in my life journey. I've always dedicated myself to music in the church, and it has brought with it so many unexpected blessings. But for a while, my spirit has been stirring me into that role of senior pastor, and frankly, I was unsure if the opportunity was ever going to be available. In November of this year, I began to dialogue with a church in Sudbury about the possibility of becoming the lead pastor at All Nations Church. As we have continued this dialogue, there was a sense from both sides that God was actively working in the situation. Things have now progressed to the point that they have asked me to become their lead pastor. I've decided to accept that call. Therefore, I'm resigning the position of worship director at Sturgeon Valley Baptist Church effective February the 14th. To take the position of lead pastor at All Nations Church in Sudbury, Ontario, on March 1st. I want to first off say thank you. I'm writing this, and it's at the time when I wrote it, it's very emotional. You have an exceptional congregation here, and it's been fun to get to know you. You have an exceptional staff that I consider to be friends. And finally, thank you seems so small a sentiment for the way the pastor Tom has been a friend, a boss, and a mentor. I truly don't have the words to express my gratitude for the work environment that Tom has provided, the exceptional wisdom he has freely offered, and the ongoing support of walking through this next step of my life journey. Thank you to the church and the board for taking a risk on this outsider and for the investment in the future. It was only through your continual support and risk-taking that we were able to move to a more current technology environment, which allowed us to be able to get our services online during this awful year. My intention is to work these final 2 months to set up Sturgeon Valley Baptist Church well for a smooth transition in the worship ministry. My greatest sadness about my time at Sturgeon Valley Baptist Church is working through COVID. I will mourn not being able to develop the relationships with you that I wanted but couldn't. I truly believe that God has good things for you in the future and encourage you to keep on working towards reaching out to the lost and continuing in the good systems that you have put in place to achieve those goals. I would appreciate your prayers as we and the family prepare for this transition. It feels very overwhelming, but I am trusting and having faith that God will grant us all peace and help in transitioning towards tomorrow. With love, Sean Morton.
And I would like to, at this time, invite Tracy and Sean to come forward. And I know we can't lay hands on them, but we can gather around them. And for those of you who would like to, just come and gather around, and we're just going to have them here. 2 years ago, we commissioned you here to ministry here, and now we're commissioning you to the next phase. So would you come and gather around them? And you can't touch them, even though you want to, but just your presence, and let us pray together. Lord God, this is a bittersweet moment. We realize that you have plans for all of us and calling, and we are excited for the next phase of Sean and Tracy's ministry. And we're amazed at how you brought them together with this church and how you have laid things in place over these last couple of years so that this could be possible. And you've been preparing Sean for his entire 20 plus years of ministry. And so we pray for your blessing upon them. And in those moments when it feels overwhelming, might they be comforted by the fact that whenever we step out in faith, it's faith. It's not something that we can just do or pull off in our own strength. We need you. They need you. So will you flood them with that supernatural comfort of your blessing upon them, and that you will walk with them and guide them and look after all of the details that are going to be necessary in these days and weeks ahead. We pray your blessing upon them. And we think of their kids as well as they think of this transition, Lord. I pray that you will bless them as they process it. I know they've had more time than most of us, but to bless them as they think about and pray about their future as well. And we pray for our church family as well. Thank you for the ways in which we have been stretched and challenged and encouraged and called by Sean and his ministry here. And we praise you that we've been able to minister to this family in some small way as well. And we pray and trust that you will provide for us for whatever is next for us in this role and in this area of our ministries. And just as you established that eternal foundation for relationship with us through the perfect high priest of Jesus, you will continue to carry us and guide us and strengthen us. And so we praise you, Lord, and give you glory and ask for you to continue to lead us today, through Christmas, through 2021 and beyond. And we pray all of this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.